This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We are streaming live on the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. Presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. It's Bish, Cakes, EB, and JP. That is the foursome. We got a packed show. Doug Bell's going to join us at 7:40 to talk some Masters. Mike Rizzo, president of baseball ops of your Washington Nationals and GM, joins us at 9 o'clock. But joining us right now on the Rude Guest Hotline is Spencer Carberry, head coach of the Washington Capitals. He's presented by the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics. More physicians, more locations, more advanced care centered around one thing, you. Visit CFAOrtho.com. Thanks, as always, for joining us, Coach.
Morning, guys.
Morning.
Good to talk
to
you.
We don't have much to talk about.
Yeah, I know, right? Coach, let's go back to Friday night when Ovi scored goals 893 and the tying goal 894 on home ice at Capital One Arena. We were doing the Monumental Altcast, so we were kind of swept up in it. We were close to being in the arena, but not quite in there. Describe to us just how loud and how crazy the arena was getting as people were hoping that Alex would break the record at home, but they at least got to see it. The tying goal at home with Wayne Gretzky in the building. There were a lot of good vibes there on Friday night.
Yeah, quite honestly, you could feel it in the morning around our practice rink at morning skate. It felt different. It just, you could feel the anticipation and being around O and some of the alumni in the building. So right from the morning, you could feel that this was a significant night, and you had kind of in the back of your mind a feeling that O was going to do something special. And so it started there, and then you could feel once it got close to game time, even in warm-up, there was so much energy in the air, and you could feel the building alive, like way before puck even dropped. And so it, the atmosphere was unbelievable. Something that I've never felt. I mean, playoffs are a different animal, but that for a regular season game was pretty incredible.
When did it become, it seemed like from the outside looking in, you could argue with me if you want, Coach, but it seemed like it, at least in the last game or two, it kind of became, all right, we just got to feed Ovi. Like, I'm sure it wasn't even spoken.
Let's just get it done.
But let's just, like, you know, it seemed like there was a concerted effort, give him the puck, let's get, you know, and everyone's into it. It's not like they weren't into it, but.
Yeah, agree with that.
When did it become that, like, let's just do this, and that became almost more of the focus? Obviously, you want to win the game, and the forefront is winning the game, but, man, that the last couple of games, it seemed like, let's just feed them, and let's do this. When did that really kick in for you guys?
I think probably dating back to when he scored late in Winnipeg, that sort of got things rolling of like, okay, we're getting pretty close here. So it started, I would say if I could describe it best, it was a build up to where it became more noticeable and more noticeable and more noticeable,
right,
to where you're speaking to in these last couple games where it's been really noticeable of, you know, everything surrounding his shifts and a real emphasis on trying to get him, you know, over the hump. And it wasn't like, it's not like guys are making crazy decisions passing to him when he's not. It's just, you can tell through his shifts and when he got the puck and when other guys would get the puck that there was a concerted effort to try to put him in a good spot to score a goal.
Yeah.
Talking to Coach Spencer Carberry from the Washington Capitals, they've got 107 points. That's the best mark in the Eastern Conference with five games to go. Best by far, by the way, in the East, because I think the second highest team is 9 points behind the Washington Capitals. All right, one more thing about Ovi. Probably a month before he ties the record and breaks the record, we talked to you about the empty net situation. And you told us you were going to have this conversation with him. It appeared that you just had it with him moments before on the bench. Had it ever been broached beforehand?
I knew that he did not want to break it on an empty netter. So yeah. we had had that conversation. And so I knew that going into that. I wanted to confirm and make sure that in the moment, given the circumstances at home, you know, he's got two goals before a hat trick. I wanted to just make sure that he didn't want an opportunity to get out there and seal the deal. And so that was just in the moment.
Double checking.
To confirm.
So Coach, Ryan Leonard gets the empty netter there instead of Ovi having the chance at it. I mean, Ryan Leonard has had quite the whirlwind first week introduction into the NHL. Basically, he was playing for BC like a week and a half ago. He signed his deal. He's there for Ovi's record tire. He gets to meet Wayne Gretzky in the locker room afterwards and shake his hand. And Wayne Gretzky's addressing him about the empty net goal. Like, what a week for Ryan Leonard.
I know, right? Like, how do you follow that up for a 15 to 20 year career in the NHL?
That's right.
The first week. Everything from here on out is going to be a letdown for Leno. But for him to be able to be a part of this, I know him losing in the regionals and to Denver and to end his college career the way that it ended wasn't the way that he had envisioned. And so it's been an emotional week for him, and then turning pro. So then you've got all this excitement of playing your first games in the National Hockey League. And so I'm glad. Not glad that they lost, but glad that he was able to be a part of that, because that experience it's once in a lifetime. And for him to even pick up a couple things from that experience that he'll be able to carry with him the rest of his career. And yeah, I'm just, you know, him to be able to be with us and experience that, I think is going to be a positive in the long run for his career inside of our organization.
And is he kind of everything you imagined so far?
He is, yeah. I mean, it's a lot. Like, I think people, he's such a phenomenal, first and foremost, young man, player, what he's accomplished. You know, the sky's the limit for him in this league and in this organization. It is still a lot for a young player to make this jump from college to the National Hockey League. It is a huge, huge jump in just every part of the game that you could imagine. Size, speed, intelligence, physicality, all these significance of every puck touch, all this different stuff that he's trying to work his way through and trying to get caught up to speed. And so he's shown at various points the skill set, the physicality, playing on the inside, using his skating, his ability to attack off the rush and break defenders down, all these things that you get glimpses of what he's going to be able to do for a long, long time at a high level. And then also there's things inside of his game that he's going to learn on the fly and just continue to get better little details inside the game that we'll continue to work with him on.
I'm curious, Coach Carberry. He was in the middle of a semester. Does he take his classes now? Like, what's going on?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure he's really.
He is going to finish all of his classes. He wants to get all the credits for him so that if.
Look at that.
Yeah, when he does finish his degree, which I think at some point he will, those credits will count, and he didn't waste his time for the semester.
Yeah. Look at that.
Interesting. So, Coach, now that the OV chase is over, and in my opinion, you, and I don't know if you agree with me, that record will never be broken because he's going to score more this year, and he, who knows, he might come back next year, score a bunch more. He might be in the 930 range at some point. No one's touching that. But now that it's over, there's five games left. You guys haven't played the best hockey, as you've admitted. Maybe this was a little bit of a distraction. Now you kind of gear up for playing well heading into the playoffs. What have you been telling the guys about that?
Well, we'll start today at that, because I do think as great and as positive as this chase has been and the significance of it, and like I said before, like, this is once in a lifetime stuff. So you celebrate this, you embrace it, you do not hide behind this or minimize what's happened over the last, you know, his whole career, but specifically with this season over the last month. So we're able to celebrate that, celebrate him. We've got a few more things this week with regards to sort of, you know, around the community and some different things that he has obligation-wise, media and you know, celebrating the record. And this is now our challenge as a group, is you just went through something so euphoric and so top of the mountain, like I just described. And now, okay, the real significant, the real part of the season begins. And that's going to be our challenge. And that's my job, to get our guys back on track and realize that the individual record and what we were a part of was a great thing, and we'll never forget that. And it is as special a thing as we'll be a part of. But at the end of the day, this is the greatest team sport in the world, and you're measured by Stanley Cups and winning this time of year in the playoffs. And that's what we're all about as individual players, coaches, and as a team. And that's where we have to flip our mindset to getting ourselves in a really good spot so that we can make some noise in the playoffs.
So, Coach Carbs, the scheduling gods came up big for you guys with 3 days off between the Islanders game, where he clinched the record, and the Thursday night home affair with the Canes coming to town. Is that enough time for a mental reset for you and the coaching staff and the players to kind of get past the record? And like you said, now you drill down on closing the regular season strong and getting ready for the playoffs.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're hoping, that today is a work day, and we're going to get back to work. And that's we're going to have a very, very narrowed focus on what we're doing, being really diligent with our preparation. And now it's go time. It is go time for our group, and guys will know that this morning. And now we get to work and, you know, put ourselves every single day, do everything that we possibly can to put ourselves in good positions individually and collectively to have some success here moving past April 17th.
Coach, can you give us an update on Logan Thompson's injury that he suffered down in Raleigh in the Carolina game?
Yeah, he's still week to week. He's still going to be out here for a little bit, but he's progressing and doing better.
Okay.
Coach, did you attend the celebratory dinner Sunday night at, I hope I get the name of this right, Balos Estiatorio? By the way, their service is impeccable, because as Ovi walked through the door, one of the hostesses greeted him with not one, but two beers. I'm sure you probably wanted it to be one beer, but she just put two beers right into Ovi's hand. He was three steps into the building at that point.
First of all, your pronunciation was spectacular.
Yeah, nice.
Excellent. Good.
I was turning my head when all that those shenanigans were happening that evening, but I was in attendance, yes.
Nice.
Very good. Very good.
Cool. All right. Well, listen, are we going to get Coach on during the...
I think we have him for at least one more.
At least one more.
This is not our final
next, next week's, I think,
interview.
The final.
This is the penultimate.
Yes,
very good, JP. Big
second
word.
Last.
Big SAT word.
All right, Coach. Well, let's get on a little heater here as the playoffs are around the corner. It's always a pleasure to have you on, and the last week's been amazing. Let's, I don't know, let's pick it up here at pace, and let's play like we have all season.
Appreciate it, guys.
Yeah, thanks, you.
Coach.
Thank you,
Coach Spencer Carberry, who's presented by the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics. More physicians, more locations, more advanced care centered around one thing, you. Visit CFAOrtho.com. NBCSN.com. Coming up at 7:40, we will preview the Masters with Doug Bell. Don't go anywhere. Have you guys followed the story of the dire wolf?
No.
I've seen bits and pieces on it, yeah.
What it's pretty fascinating.
The dire wolf?
Yeah. So the dire wolf hasn't been around, EB, for 10,000 years.
You it definitely last, missed it in Game of Thrones that features dire
wolves. It last walked the earth roughly 10,000 years ago. But there's a company called Colossal Biosciences that I believe both Tiger Woods and Tom Brady were investors in. And look, I'm going to probably butcher the science part of this, but like the Human Genome Project, they took the ancient DNA and then they figured out a way to combine it, I believe, with the gray wolf, which is still around.
I think that's correct, yeah.
And they brought back an extinct animal.
All right, well, hold on. It's tainted because they mixed it with the gray wolf, right?
Right.
Yes.
But so it is a little tainted.
But they're using DNA from, I don't know, like an old fossil. I don't know how they obtained the DNA.
And the difference between the dire and the gray is just the color? Is that?
I don't know the difference.
I mean, they're white.
I think from what I read, there are also some characteristics that are a little bit different.
But I saw that they're also...
That the dire wolf likes to be alone. Maybe all wolves like to be alone. I don't know.
Don't wolves travel in packs?
Yes. Maybe that's what distinguishes the dire wolf. I don't know.
I saw the same company. They're going to attempt to bring back the woolly mammoth.
Yes. They want to bring back the woolly mammoth and the dodo bird.
I saw the dodo bird too. This smacks of... Jurassic Park.
It's Jurassic Park in real life?
It's Jurassic Park.
What's the woolly mammoth? That's a dinosaur?
Woolly mammoth's a big... Come on, it's EB. Like ancestor
now
of
you're just, now you're just doing a bit. You don't know what the woolly mammoth is?
I've
heard of it. You can't picture it in your head?
A woolly mammoth?
You can't picture the woolly
just
mammoth.
It's a big, giant elephant covered in hair.
Yeah, exactly.
And it... Big old tusks.
Let me look.
So where is this company based?
Not really. Don't really know what a woolly mammoth is. All right. Go ahead.
Where's this company that
I don't know where they're based.
De-extincted the Not sure. dire wolf? Where's it based?
So the woolly mammoth, when did that go extinct? Like, what's the legend of the woolly mammoth?
Millions of years ago.
Millions of years ago?
Yeah. I would guess.
Sorry, I don't have a big
file on it. Are we going too far with science to bring back extinct animals?
Yes, we are going too far. I actually think that we're reaching a critical point. And it ties in actually with AI. They interviewed Musk the other day, and I don't care what you think about Musk, love him or hate him. I have mixed opinions on Musk. He's big into AI. He said, I think that within just a few years, 2 or 3 years, that AI is going to be... smarter than humans within 2 years, like something like that.
Yeah.
And then the follow-up question was, what's the likelihood that then when they become smarter than humans, that they're just going to wipe us all out? And he said, maybe 20%.
That's a big percentage.
Isn't that the movie iRobot?
No, it's Terminator.
Yeah. Terminator, but also what's the Will
I'm
Smith
sure
movie?
iRobot, yeah, same thing.
Think about that for a second. Whether you like him or don't like him, one of the world's smartest guys, heavily involved in this, knee-deep, is saying there's a 1 in 5 shot that in a few years we're going to create a technology that's going to wipe out all of humanity.
This is the plot of Terminator.
Why are we just saying, oh, yeah, that's great?
I mean,
I'm okay with that.
In Terminator, Skynet is the artificial intelligence. It becomes...
the 1 in 5 shot.
Yeah, because kids don't want to write a term paper.
The AI then realizes,
this is insanity.
Like, why do we need humans around? We can wipe out the humans and just get along without them. And then all of a sudden, there's going to be a giant mushroom cloud. And then we're all donezo.
Now, I think he lowered it maybe 10%, but of course he's guessing. But he has an educated opinion on the idea.
Yeah.
And it says the outcome that the AI is going to wipe us all out is like between 10 and 20%.
I know he's way smarter than
me. Did he give a ballpark date on that?
Within a few years.
Ballpark date.
That's impossible.
No, within a few years, the first step, AI will be smarter than human.
Okay,
and then the next step is they just wipe out humans.
Well,
they don't
need
humans anymore.
I told you guys this a week ago that Bill Gates said that in 10 years, he believes there's really only 3 key job sectors.
One of them was coders.
Yeah, I think this is all crazy.
The other one was energy.
I think this is crazy.
I can't do anything.
And I think reviving extinct animals is kind of along the same lines, too.
It might be cool, though, if you have an actual Jurassic Park with a woolly mammoth and dodo bird.
That'd be fun. I'd pay to see that.
Apparently the Tasmanian tiger.
I know that Elon Musk is way smarter than me. I understand that.
Yeah.
But just get your self-driving cars to work correctly, like self-drive without crashing into a tractor trailer or mowing people down in the middle of the street.
Are they still doing that all
the
time?
Get that right before we start worrying about the other things on your list.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you should be concentrating on.
My brother-in-law just got in one of those, and I know you guys have, it's been around for a couple of years now, but got in a driverless Uber.
Oh, really?
Nice.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't think I'd do that.
I would never do it.
I'm pretty sure I wouldn't do that.
I know I wouldn't do that.
Phone number is 800-636-1067 if you want to chime in. Is there an extinct animal that you would want to come back, Cakes? You were. I feel like you were into dinosaurs back in the day.
I was more into sharks than dinosaurs.
Yeah,
more into sharks. I don't know. Do I want
the last thing we think about is having an extinct animal come back to Earth?
Really, never crossed
my
mind.
No one thinks about that.
Is there an extinct animal that people really, really miss or really think fondly of?
It would be cool to see a megalodon in real life. I don't think that those even exist, even though Jason Statham has been in at least two movies.
All right, megalodon is what?
A megalodon is a gigantic shark, probably 50 to 60 feet long, that could come in here and just eat all of us in one. One bite.
That wouldn't be
good. I don't know where I'd go see that or who would be able to contain such an animal, but
yeah.
When I'm pressed on an animal that's extinct, some people theorize they might still be around in the real depths of the ocean. Now, that could be science fiction-y, but
who knows?
If you knew, there was no risk of death.
Could be a Meg out there.
If you knew there was no risk of death,
yeah,
would you go in one of those cages and be surrounded by sharks?
It would be fun, but it would also be terrifying. Because I saw what it did to the cage when Richard Dreyfuss was in it in Jaws.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be in your mind. Destroyed the cage.
Yeah.
Now, that was a big mechanical
shark. I'd rather be on the boat, on the water, and just see the fins. That's all I'd ever do. Is
the next step, then, they're going to take DNA from, famous people and then somehow, bring people back to life. I guess that's the next step.
Well, they got to mix it with other DNA, right?
Right, which kind of taints it.
Right. So it's not an exact replica, but. It's not a carbon copy, but it's very similar.
Probably could be very close. So you want to bring back Hank Aaron or
something.
Clone Sidney Sweeney.
I read and have seen the movie Pet Sematary. You don't want to bring dead people back because they don't come back the same way they did when they were.
They come back evil.
They come back.
Again, I don't know the reference. I've heard the movie.
Bloodthirsty and murderous.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's not great.
Yeah.
Leave the dead people be.
It is kind of
crazy.
Sometimes
dead is better, Valdez.
The dire wolf was extinct for 10,000 years, and then they somehow bring one back.
Is there a lovable, bear or something, or a koala bear or something that is extinct?
I don't know. A cuddly, cute animal that's gone extinct?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a good question.
I don't know. I just think, I'm out on it.
Yeah,
I'm out on reviving extinct animals and this crazy surge in AI.
Well, I think the reintroduction of wolves in itself is highly controversial because they did, they were wiped out across the United States, pretty sure, and then they reintroduced them to Yellowstone.
Okay.
And then, of course, they spread all over the West.
Right.
Now, what do wolves do? They're apex predators.
Okay.
And they slaughter people's
kids,
livestock.
Okay.
And their dogs.
Farmers, they'll go out one morning, and then all their cattle are dead.
Okay.
And so it's highly, reintroducing them is
probably kind of not a great idea.
Well, some people say it's a win for, I don't know, ecological reasons. I don't really know. I just know that environmental people love it. Farmers hate it.
There's the extinct animals. A golden toad. Do you want to bring back a golden toad?
Don't know anything
Irish
about it.
Irish elk. There's a big turtle. That'd be silly. Big turtle.
You're the turtle.
Dude, I saw a turtle. There was a story
sea cow.
Yesterday.
I see those at Ocean City all the time.
I saw a story on a tortoise yesterday.
Yeah. Turtoise, yeah.
Oftentimes near the bathroom,
mm-hmm,
and the break room, they have it on Fox 5.
Yeah.
And they're doing their morning show. There was a 100-year-old tortoise that just gave birth.
Tortoises are, They have pictures of tortoises from like the 1880s.
Yeah.
That are still alive today. Yeah. Like grainy ass black and white photographs.
So was this tortoise getting after it at 100? Got pregnant?
I think a tortoise can live like 200 years. Ridiculous lifespan.
Yeah.
By the way, the wolves also attack people.
Yeah.
Of course. Like kids.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not just livestock. Mm-hmm. Like they attack people.
So they did this, what, a long time ago or something?
Like a couple decades ago, they started reintroducing them.
Uh-huh.
But yeah. I think it's been,
they've
been successful and they've spread and spread and spread. You know, I mean, like, why do we need those? Get rid of them.
Yeah. I'd get mad.
You want to walk around your backyard and get surrounded by a pack?
No, because they'll eat you. Yeah. They'll
rip you. Well, I'll tell you what. I wouldn't live somewhere where I'd be surrounded by a pack of wolves. I wouldn't live there.
Well,
you wouldn't live in Minnesota. Yeah. Be around Anthony Edwards.
It's the last place I'd live.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of scary enough. I have a little fox that's in our neighborhood, and it gets sized for my little mat out there where I hit balls.
Yeah. Didn't you say it took a nap there once?
It occasionally it'll chill and take a nap. It's like scratches its back. You know, it feels silly.
Foxes kind of freak me out. Now, they always run away.
Oh, yeah. They're
pretty timid.
I can't run anymore, but I used to run on a path in the woods.
Yeah.
And I'd hear foxes scurrying around. And one time, cross like right in front of me freaked me out. Mm.
But if they're not scared of you, does that mean they have rabies?
Yeah, they're rabid.
If they're not scared.
If you see their tail and the tail has no fur on it, they're rabid. Stay
away
from
them. That's the warning sign? I didn't know that.
Yeah, you stay away from them.
If they have no tail?
No, if they have no hair on or fur on
their... A hairless tail.
Yeah.
Oh, I had no idea. How do you learn a nugget like that?
Because I've seen them on golf courses, and they look weird. And I asked my buddy, what's going on with this fox? He goes, oh, yeah, he's rabid. If he's got no fur on his tail,
well, at least
he's rabid.
If it comes near you, you just smash it in the head with your driver.
And usually if they... They're not going to come near you if they're normal because they're afraid of people.
Right.
But if they're rabid, they're
effed up in
the head.
They only weigh like 25 or 30 pounds. They're not going to, you know.
When you go on walks with your dog, Luca, do you ever encounter other animals that Luca goes after?
Well, squirrels, of course.
Well, squirrels. I mean, I'm convinced that my neighborhood in Ashburn leads the country in squirrel population.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I can't believe how many there are. rabbits. She wants to catch a rabbit.
Sure.
She couldn't catch a rabbit in a closet.
Yeah.
But she wants to catch a rabbit.
Sure.
Occasionally a deer, but never a fox.
All right, let's go to Kurt.
We don't have many foxes.
Calling from, he says, Pennsylvania.
Ah, Jason's birthplace.
Part of Pennsylvania, Kurt.
Woodbridge.
Woodbridge, Pennsylvania.
I don't know where that is.
I hope it's better than Woodbridge, Virginia.
We're named after Woodbridge, Virginia. That's it. That's our sister city.
Gotcha.
It's a small town in Pennsylvania.
All right. What's up?
I wanted to give you some information about what you can and cannot do with DNA.
Okay.
DNA, when somebody dies or any animal dies, the DNA breaks down very quickly. They've been able to go back about 1 million years to pull DNA. That's as far back as ancient DNA they can go. And so that means they can do anything pre 1 million years. They cannot go back to the dinosaur age.
Okay.
So that's about as far as you could go. So they can do the woolly mammoth, which went out at the end of the last ice age. They can do dodo birds that have been gone for 500 years. They can do it's just about anything. But they have to have a close really living relative as well. So like the dire wolf, which went out about 10,000 years ago, the gray wolf is its closest relative. So that's a nice match.
All right, Jurassic...
This guy sounds like he knows what he's talking about.
No, you do sound like you know a lot. And listen, these guys make fun of me all the time. I don't know anything about a woolly mammoth. I guess I've seen pictures of them. Is the next closest thing to a woolly mammoth like an elephant?
Yes.
All right. Why did the woolly mammoth not survive the ice age, but an elephant did?
There was a lot more diversity as far as elephants were concerned. You had mastodons, you had woolly mammoths, you had a bunch of variety.
Okay.
In the last ice age, they thrived in the ice age.
Okay.
And when the ice age ended and humans came around, they started hunting them. So once they got a hold, humans got a hold of them, that basically wiped out all of them. Saber-tooth tiger, woolly mammoth, that they all went. But they're all within about 10 to 12,000 years ago, so they can pull the DNA from bones the way they did.
Kurt in Pennsylvania might be our most learned listener ever.
Pretty smart guy.
What did you do for a living, Kurt?
I call more often. Yeah, well, it's not even my profession, so
You're just a hobby. You're an animal nerd.
My wife's a scientist, and I'm an animal nerd. Yes, well,
right. Okay, animal nerd. All right. So, what kind of animals do you have now?
We have two cats and two dogs.
Oh, okay, pretty standard. Nothing weird. Like what cakes is that? What did you have? Sugar glider.
Tortoise as well.
Those animals freak me out. We got rid of those.
Be weird.
Hmm. I mean, tortoise. The only thing about a tortoise, you had one as a pet.
Yeah, I have one now. I've had it for 10 years.
Yeah, but there's nothing you could do, right? They just
it's not like you can cuddle with it.
Yeah, there's no interaction.
Well, it's like a fish,
I guess.
Well, let's just refer to it as low maintenance.
It's definitely low maintenance.
And walking the dog, you know, I can just put kibble out, turtle kibble out, and then he's fine for a couple of days. So.
Oh, really?
Just feed him
once. He's fun to have. I mean, he goes around the house. The problem is that he has no control over his bowels.
Right.
He leaves messes wherever he goes.
Right.
But yeah, we turn him loose in the house and in the yard. He's not that big. He's about a foot long.
Is your house smelly?
The cats, and the litter box a little bit.
The cats, yes.
Yeah, the answer's yes. Right? You got to be careful. Yeah. All right. Hey, Kurt, thank you. Good information.
You're welcome, buddy.
But you know what smells worse? This whole building, the sewage problem in the building. Yeah.
Well, the bathroom is starting to really smell.
Trav told me that the lobby smells the same way as the bathroom.
Oh,
we're working,
I went in there yesterday. It's
we're
really
working
smelled.
In a condemned building.
Yeah, but maybe it should be.
This building's had a lot of problems because remember the dumpster issues for a while?
I remember.
It seems to be resolved somewhat, right? I haven't noticed
fruit
that.
Flies
oh,
for a while.
Come back in the summer. It'll
summer
come back.
Issue. Yeah.
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 Just wait.
All right. Coming up next.
Let's
place
some
which
cash.
Is heaven on earth for EB.
Yeah, it's Masters
we'll talk
Week.
Augusta and the Masters with Doug Bell next on the Junkies.
Time to head out to the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. We welcome in Doug Bell. Longtime analyst on the PGA Tour Radio and CBS Sports HQ. What's up, Doug? How are you?
Guys, how's my favorite show doing in D.C.? Are you guys hanging in there okay?
We're doing all right.
Doing all right, sir.
Absolutely.
Well, we're glad it's Masters Week.
For some of us, yeah, favorite week of the year. It's so fun.
Yeah, no, it's incredible, guys. And it's funny, and I say this because my season started in Hawaii, right, which was a phenomenal trip. Maui, then Honolulu. You come to California, which is really cool, temperature especially. Then you come to Florida, where I grew up, and it's like, this is awesome. But when you get to the Masters, it's the total reset. The beginning of the season has been great, but as you guys have so eloquently described, now that we're here at Augusta, man, it's time to get serious now. This is fun.
All right, so the weather. Just talk about the weather for the week. Is it supposed to be perfect all 4 days?
Well, today is going to be phenomenal. Monday was a complete washout. In fact, I stayed in San Antonio an extra day because I wanted to watch the championship game, which turned out to be really terribly exciting. Got in yesterday, and the weather was just glorious and did some work. And did a little shopping too, by the way, bought some things.
Hold on the merch tent. Give us the breakdown.
Yeah.
What's new in the collection?
Well, got to get a new t-shirt every year, guys. Right.
Okay. Right.
And it's funny because I go through the airport wearing a Masters t-shirt and invariably people are like, oh, so you went to the Masters? I'm like, yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're like, wow, that's really cool. So now I get a new t-shirt every year with a new year on it. I'm not a big hat guy, but I always buy a new hat. And so like at home, my wife is like, why do you buy these hats and never wear them? And I'm like, well, because it's the Masters,
You just feel like you have to. Yeah.
What other reason do you need? No, but it's fun. And it is like Disney World. When you go through the line and it's kind of like a maze, you go down and back and down and back. And that's how they have it set up. It isn't just like a mass. Let's jam in. They have it all organized, which is really nice. And the cool thing about the hats, guys, there must be 60 to choose from. And so they're all up on the wall, and you just tell the lady or the guy, hey, I want number 60. Like, all right. And they just go underneath, pull out 60. What else you need? Well, how about 45? And so, no, it's as you would expect being at the Masters. Everything's very organized. And it's unlike really any other tournament.
Have you had the new tomato sandwich or whatever?
Yeah, tomato pie.
Yeah, have you had that?
You sampled?
I have not had that. You know, it's funny. I think I was on with you guys last year, and people, and again, one of those questions, hey, do you ever have the pimento cheese sandwich? I'm like, no, yeah. I'm not a big pimento cheese guy. The barbecue sandwiches are really good, but no, I don't. A lot of that stuff I don't partake. The tomato sandwich does not interest me in the least.
Right. Yeah. All right, so this year is a little different. Rory's coming in. Like many previous years, you know, he's got high expectations. I feel bad for him. You can almost look at him and just see the weight of the world on his shoulders. I know he's trying to not, you know, lock in on it, but you just see the weight of the world on. He's playing well, so that's good. You know, I know he's worked on and off with Bob Rutella for years. Maybe finally something will kick in. Do you think what's held him back is maybe the course isn't quite built for him the way we thought it was, or is it simply just a mental hurdle that's kind of held him back?
I think it's a mental thing. He has all the prerequisites. He hits it a country mile, which you have to now. This golf course stretches about 7,600 yards, guys.
That's crazy.
It's nuts. That's a long golf course. Hits those towering iron shots, which you guys hear all the time. He's top 10 strokes gained. Tee to green, which you have to have. Short game is okay. I think if there's one area that maybe holds him back a little is, again, the short game here is, it's different because the greens are the most complicated. I mean, they're so severe, so complicated, the fastest they play in the world every year. And maybe that holds him back a little bit. But you nailed it at the beginning. This 1,000-pound gorilla is on his shoulders. That's all anybody asked him yesterday in the media room, among some other crazy questions. But he's trying to deflect those questions. And you mentioned Bob Rutella. He talked about him yesterday. And I think Dr. Rutella, I mean, you can. There's 100 guys who've worked with him, and he does amazing work. But I never heard Jack Nicklaus say, hey, I've been working with a sports psychologist. I never heard Tiger say, I've been working with, you know, the greats of the game. And he's one of the greats of the modern era. But when they start getting to that psychology thing, it worries me. And I'm just afraid he's going to fall in that same camp. Hmm. You know, Tom Weisskopf finished second 4 times. Of course, Jack beat him all 4 times. Greg Norman could never win.
Greg Norman was so built for it, too. I just can't believe he never pulled it off.
No. Same scenario. Yeah. I mean, it's almost a mirror thing. So it would be fantastic. I love him. I think he's really great for the sport. He's articulate, an incredible interview. And he's been around a long time, guys. You know, when you see him take his hat off and he's got that silver in the side of his hair, I'm like, what, wasn't I here just yesterday when he was like a teenager?
Right.
But now he's like, you know, a guy who has a daughter who is growing up, and he's been through a lot in his personal life and very successful. That's the thing. That's the point that I always tell people. These guys, it's generational wealth. I mean, Rory is close to being a billionaire if he's not there already. And that's why these guys from LIV, they have all this money. And I just think it takes away from your competitive edge. Although you'll say, hey, well, Rory played great. He won at Pebble and he won the Players. Yes, because he is so good. I mean, he's so good at what he does, but I just think when it comes to doing what Jack did or Tiger or some of the other guys, listen, only 5 guys have won all 4.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's hard to do, and I'm not sure he's going to pull it off.
All right, let's talk a little bit of wagering here.
Yeah.
All right, so just talking about Rory, last year you finished 22nd, missed the cut the year before that. But he doesn't have a ton of top fives in his, you know, 15, 16 years he's played there, but he's got a bunch of top tens.
Bunch of backdoor top tens.
Yeah, so I can parlay Scheff and McIlroy to finish top 10 will pay me plus 145, all right? I feel much better about Scheff, but you got to lay 230 to win 100 for him to finish in the top 10.
Rory, he has to play great, though. Great, great. Not like, you know what I mean?
You mean recently?
Late. Yeah.
Yeah, but he's 1-2.
Yeah.
So McIlroy's minus 140 to finish top 10. Anyway, if I parlay Scheff and McIlroy to both finish top 10 plus 145, do you like that wager?
I love it. I love it.
Maybe I'll get in on that.
Regardless of what I said about Rory a moment ago, I don't think he's going to win.
Right.
But, you know, he is so good. And Scotty is number one for a reason. If you look at it analytically, his game is just I mean, it's like he checks every single box when it comes to Augusta. And that's why he's won two of the last three.
Mm-hmm.
I like both of those guys finishing top 10. And you're talking about come Sunday when CBS puts up that leaderboard, will Scotty and Rory's name be on that first page? I think so.
Okay.
I have no doubt. And Scotty, listen, I was with him in Houston, guys, and he hasn't won. I get it. You know, he started slow because of the injury at Christmas. But at Houston, I saw the guy. I was like, okay, he's there. And he feels – and he was not cocky. It just he has that air about him like, okay, he loves where the game is. And he's kind of had that air about him yesterday in the media center. Again, he's not a cocky guy.
Right.
But I just – he was like, wow, this guy feels it. He feels really good. Whereas, like, Xander Schauffele – in his media conference, it was kind of like, I don't know where I am. I think I'm good. I think I'm playing good. I hope I am.
Uh-huh.
So I just – you hear that. At least I do. I'm around these guys, interview them quite a bit. I think Scotty's in a really good spot. But, yeah, to answer your question, yeah, both of those guys, the parlay top 10, I like it.
All right, give us a couple plays before we let you go that you really like.
Well, I think Oberg is a guy at 14-1. If you go down the line, you know, I really like him.
By the way, he's plus three. He's plus 360 to finish top five.
Yeah, no, I think Oberg is perfect for the Masters. I think he's going to win multiple Masters when all is said and done. Here's the guy I really like, guys. Seth Strzok at the beginning of the week was 60-1. Now he's like 55-1. So people are starting to put a little money on this guy, and I'm talking about the winner. I know you guys are doing parlays, etc.
Yeah.
Just keep an eye on Sepp Straka. He won the American Express earlier this year. He's won three times in the last 3 years. He's off the charts. When you're 55-1, you're not on the radar screen for the gamblers, even though his odds are going down. I just keep an eye on Sepp Straka. You know, the other one was about the LIV guys, and I think it mentioned where was it? I wrote that down because I knew I was coming on with you guys. I thought this was a good bet. Will Jordan Spieth, DJ, and Sergio all make the cut?
Okay.
I might go no on that.
Jordan, yes. I'm not sure about the other two guys.
Yeah.
So
I haven't followed DJ on LIV. I don't know how he's played.
Mediocre. Well, and see, that's the thing, guys. People are asking me about – I don't think a LIV player will finish top 10.
Even Rahm?
I don't think John Rahm. And here's the deal with Rahm. I think the world of John Rahm, and he is a talented guy. And after this week, guys, he's going to, unless he wins or something, he's going to fall out of the top 80 in the world. He's 80th right now in the world rankings. Is that possible?
Yeah, he was asking the media that the other day.
Well, they did kind of making fun of the rankings.
Yeah.
Well, but he comes in yesterday going, hey, I'm playing really well. If not for a couple of bad swings at Doral last week, I think I would have been there. He finishes tied for ninth at LIV.
Hmm.
On a Doral event. And again, keep in mind, guys, and I tell people this all the time, LIV golf compared to the PGA Tour, these are not PGA Tour setups. The greens aren't that fast. Right. The hole locations aren't as difficult. There's only 54 guys. There's no cut, on and on and on and on and on. I don't know where any of these LIV guys are from a competitive standpoint. And DeChambeau, this guy's having so much fun on social media and breaking the bank. I mean, he's making more money on YouTube than you could possibly imagine. And I think his focus is more there. That's all he talked about in the media room yesterday was his YouTube channel and social media and this and that. So I just don't – and it's taking me – I said this for 3 years and people have gotten all over me like, you're crazy. The LIV guys are as good as anybody. I don't believe it.
Really?
I don't think they're as competitively sharp compared to the guys in the PGA Tour. I know they're not as competitively sharp as Scotty and Rory and Colin Morikawa.
Well, Bryson won the U.S. Open last year.
I know, but you know, that was an anomaly, guys. Did you see how many fairways he missed? Sure you saw
it. Yeah.
And he just kept hacking it out of the weeds, getting it up on the green. I don't know how he did it. I think that was just the perfect scenario where the course set up for his wildness. Now, listen, yesterday, the other thing I'll tell you on the range, they have TrackMan set up on every guy.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to the media center, that is the coolest thing, right? He was carrying his drive yesterday, 288. The carry.
Mm.
And then I was looking at Jordan Spieth, and his carry was 259.
Mm-hmm.
And he hits it a long way. So I'm thinking, so Bryson is carrying it 288, and then you have the rollout. And Jordan's carrying it 259 with a rollout. I mean, that's,
big
to me,
difference.
That's kind of like, Big difference. My goodness.
Yeah.
That's a huge difference. So, anyway.
All right, Doug. We got to go near the top of the hour. Thanks, man. We're going to place a lot of wagers this week.
Play the music cakes.
I can do it anytime.
Have fun down there.
Send them out.
Have fun.
Bye.
See you, bud.
That's Doug Bell. As we talk a little Masters, we're going to talk more with Dennis Paulson, former
Carl Paulson.
Carl Paulson. I keep saying change it.
How about you cross his name out?
I did on the other one. I did on this one. Not on that one. All right, Carl Paulson's going to join us talk some
golf. No relation to Grant.
Joining us at 9:25, plus Mike Rizzo, Nats GM at 9 o'clock. Don't go anywhere.